What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Grunt Speak Not So Live, your source for the inebriated truth in a world gone completely mad. I'm Toxic Male, that's Terrence Pop, and we have a special guest here on the stream, and we're just going to go with it because we only got this guy for 25 minutes. I'm handing it over to you, introducing Jeremy Brown.
Mr. Brown, so why don't you give us a quick overview of what's going on as of today.
Well, first of all, let me thank you for having me on. I love that introduction. That's the inebriated truth. That's probably an appropriate explanation as to what's going on. But so where we stand today, I've been in the jail for 376 days in the maximum security section of the Pinellas County Resort for threats to democracy.
Okay.
And we're waiting for our December 5th trial date now on charges that were brought in the Middle District of Florida. That trial was originally set for October 3rd, but because we had yet to be... hold on just 1 second. I've got the legal mail lady just came to the thing, so let me... Give me about 30 seconds to go sign for this, and I'll be right back.
Okay. Well,
I'll bring this up here. So for those of you who don't know, Jeremy Brown happened to be in the vicinity of the January 6th insurrection and was thrown in jail just because he's been held down there in Florida now since last year. So I believe his last court date was on September 30th.
Yep.
We were supposed to talk to him before then, but something happened with our last call, and now here we are.
Here we are.
Good times, great oldies.
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out... did he go into the building, or is he just present?
He was not in the building, from what I understand.
Okay.
We could talk to him about all that as soon as he comes back here, but holy cow. What a bunch of crap, man. And, of course, they're trying to pin all kinds of BS on him. Like, here we go. Yeah, feds say January 6th defendant held old military secret documents. Yeah, that's totally true, yeah.
What are you talking about? What?
This was from April 18th. Well, they have to keep manufacturing new reasons to keep these guys in
jail. Hey, what's up, wild man?
Sorry about that. Some legal mail just comes in. Looks like it's some transcripts from the other Oath Keeper trials that'll be interesting to look through later today.
Okay, so what were you doing down there on January 6th?
My purpose for being in January 6th was I was working with the Florida Oath Keepers as basically a volunteer member of their protective detail. They had been asked to provide security for the organizers of the Stop the Steal rally, and so they accepted that tasking. When I decided to go to to the January 6th rally, I reached out to them. I said, "Hey, I'm planning on being in D.C. If you guys have any holes that you need me to fill in, I'll be more than happy to help out." And certainly they plugged me in. So
okay.
Our entire purpose for being there was to escort speakers or whoever it was that the organizers deemed needed escorts from the Ellipse to what were supposed to be stages as part of a permitted rally on Capitol grounds.
Yeah, I was there. I know exactly what you're saying. I was there. So...
Right. So it turns out that actually the protectee the group that I was part of that was tasked was the mother of C.J. Pearson, who's a young black conservative. I only recently found that out through digging through Discovery. So that was who we were escorting. And so, Kelly Meggs, Jessica Watkins, Kenny Harrelson, all the guys that are on trial right now were all part of my PSD. That were escorting C.J. Pearson's mother from the Ellipse to the Capitol.
All right. What exactly are they? If you didn't go into the building, did you go into the building?
I did not. So, as part of our PSD, we had one female who literally was, arm in arm with C.J.'s mother, escorting her. I was basically the close in security. Standing directly behind them.
Okay.
As we approached the Capitol, they started to get word that it had been breached, And so the rest of the detail made the decision to break off and go in an attempt to see if they could provide some type of assistance. I advised against it because we still had our protectee on hand, and that was our mission. But it wasn't my detail to be in charge of. So
I got you.
I stayed with the female and the protectee.
All right, and you're running for public office as well?
Yeah, so on January 6, 2022, the one-year anniversary, I announced that I was running for Florida State House of Representatives for what became District 62. It was originally District 70.
Okay.
So my entire time that I've been incarcerated, my campaign, I was incarcerated the day I declared, and I've been incarcerated ever since. And it's something that my opponent likes to bring up, and I certainly encourage her to continue to bring it up because I believe that what we're doing here is certainly a noble cause, and there's no shame in my false imprisonment.
Yeah, yeah. So you're a former Green Beanie?
That's right. So I think I heard earlier you asking what year I went through selection. I went through selection December of 1995. I was selected as an 18 Bravo originally, where I went to first group as an 18 Bravo, and then in the late 90s, we were short echoes, and so they were offering pretty big reenlistment bonuses for guys to reclass. And
yeah.
So in 2001, actually, I reclassed to 18 Echo. In fact, 9/11 happened while we were out at Max Gain, which was the final FTX in the Echo course.
Yeah, because I went to selection in, I believe, June, July of 91.
Okay, so...
Yep.
So a little bit older timer than I am.
Yeah, pretty much. Just a little bit. But it is what it is. So
I did my echo time in 7th group, and then I was placed during a red cycle tasking on the SF recruiting poster, which wound me up in SF recruiting for a little less than a year. And I was recruiting at the Fort Campbell station, and when I made E8, it was an easy lateral move over to 5th group. So I like to say that I've been in three, as an enlisted guy, it's very rare to switch groups unless you get fired, and I was in three different groups, never fired from any of the three, but that doesn't necessarily mean I shouldn't have been.
Yeah, well, yeah, we all do that. All right, well, since we're short on time here, what is next for you? What's coming up on the near horizon?
So what's coming up next is the December 5th trial, and just so people understand that when the Joint Terrorism Task Force came with their domestic terrorism warrant, they came also with two counts of trespassing out of a D.C. court. So the arrest warrant was issued out of D.C. By the District of Columbia, and then during the search warrant, they found some things, miraculously. Some of the things were legitimate. Most of them weren't. And so because they found those things in the Middle District of Middle District of Florida, that actually created a separate case. So my December trial date is for the – I have 9 total counts. So the 2 misdemeanors are in D.C., and then the – no, actually, I have 9 felony counts, so a total of 11 counts. So 9 felony counts.
God damn.
In the Middle District of Florida. So that's what the December 5th trial will be for those 9 felony counts, which are basically a possession of unauthorized firearms, explosives, and classified materials, of which only the firearms are mine.
Okay, all right.
What were you saying many, many times about how people will get overcharged in order to encourage them to plead down
and
accept responsibility for shit they didn't even do?
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty much what they always do.
Wow.
Well, yeah, and they – yeah, I totally expected that they'll add additional charges. I mean, because as the case progresses, the charges that they have are certainly being exposed as being fraudulent. And so they're constantly hemming and hawing and threatening that we're going to bring this, that, or the other new charge. And of course, from the very beginning, I've told them that there's no possibility of me pleading to anything. So that also puts them in a little bit different tactical and strategic position as well, because they can't you know, no matter what they wave over my head, I'm not pleading because my goal is to take this to trial and expose what truly happened.
I gotcha. I gotcha. See, when I went down there, I was with a Praetorian guard, and the day before, like January 5th, I did two security gigs, and then I was off that day on the 6th. And I remember I went down to watch Trump talk on the big screen, and then I got like that weird feeling. I'm like, uh-oh. I better get the fuck out of here. I got on the subway, went back to Virginia, watched all the craziness on my TV. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and the reality is that the conversations, and you know as well as I do, I mean, obviously your organization is used to this. I mean, providing protective detail is a tactical operation. So therefore, yep. You're using tactical language, you're using route reconnaissance and things like that. And what they've done is they've taken communications that have been illegally seized or collected, and they're claiming that these communications, the tactical nature of those communications between a bunch of military and former law enforcement guys talking about a protective detail, are somehow now conflated with this grand conspiracy to overthrow the U.S. government. I mean, let's not forget that, you know, what are the chances that former military and law enforcement would say, hey, we can overthrow the U.S. government without the use of weapons, and oh, while we're doing it, let's help the police clear out the crowd. I mean, it's a completely ridiculous claim, and the only reason they can make it is because they're suppressing all of that CCTV footage. They're suppressing all of the communication so that they can take them out of context and never allow the American people to see with their own eyes the actual situation on the ground.
Yep.
And develop a common operating picture of what actually happened that day.
Yeah,
and so that's the only reason the narrative survives, and that's exactly why all of us are under protective orders. And I probably push the boundaries, and I'll probably push the boundaries a little bit further, because ultimately, again, I don't care about them locking me away. I've been on worse deployments. What I care about is the exposing of what's going on, because the American people are being lied to for very nefarious reasons.
Well, that's exactly what I'm doing here, except I'm attacking it from the other end. You know, you and I know in our world we work hand-in-hand with civil affairs and PSYOPs and everyone else.
That's right.
And, like, literally when I... like about a year before I was medically retired, like 2017, I was like, holy shit. I mean, there's this huge PSYOP campaign going on, and I started digging into it. And then once I retired, I thought, you know, hey, I never thought I'd retire from like one battlefield into another. So I'm literally fighting this information war on the internet with using nothing but comedy and video. And,
and that's one aspect, and really ultimately, and one of the things that I try to bring up to people is that this is unconventional warfare doctrine being used at all levels,
and it is.
I've referenced the USASOC unconventional warfare pocket guide, an unclassed document that's available for anybody who wants to get on the internet and look for it, and you can simply follow along with the diagram provided in there. Every phase of the operation, what you're seeing is an unconventional war executed against the American people with the intent of destroying American sovereignty. And as outlandish as that claim may sound, all you have to do is read the document and compare it to what you've seen with your lying eyes.
Yep.
And so, you know, the intro to our podcast, you know, I talk about how the truth is stranger than fiction. And as much as I don't want to believe that this is happening in the very country that I've defended for, you know, over 20 years, it is. And so for us to continue to turn our eyes away or to ignore the simple facts, we're only doing so at our own detriment. And I appreciate that a fellow Green Beret is out there sounding the alarm as well, because, see, this is what I also explain, is that we are the proponency within the Department of Defense for unconventional warfare. We are the experts at this type of warfare, so we should all be seeing it, and we should all be sounding the alarm. And I will tell you that before I was arrested, after I first went public on March 5th of 2021, I started to get emails from other 18 series guys saying, hey, you know, I found GPS trackers on my vehicle. I'm starting to see and detect surveillance being conducted on me. And I don't know who these guys are, but I don't doubt it because we are the threat. And I think this is one of the main reasons why you see organizations that are made up of former law enforcement and former military guys. It's one of the reasons why you see the push for red flag laws. And then also the predictive programming of designating everyone that served in combat as having mental health issues.
Yeah,
those go hand in hand because we are the threat to this type of infiltration. We're the ones that are going to identify it, and we're going to be the ones that call it out, and then we're going to be the ones to defend against it when it gets to that point. And so that's why I think so many veterans are tied up in this whole, you know, initial round of arrests, and I think you're going to continue to see more arrests. We've already seen them against school board parents. We see them now against pro-life activists, and it's just going to continue to progress and spread like a cancer. It always does.
Yeah, yeah. It's the mission creep.
Yep.
That's exactly what we're seeing. All right, so... I mean, have you had the problem with them postponing your trial dates to try to wear you down and keep you incarcerated?
Well, our main problem has been getting them to release information, you know, release the evidence. In fact, I just received probably a 35-page document, which was basically just a big, long, woe is me explanation of how hard they're trying to manage all this evidence. I mean, there's so much evidence, yet for some reason they don't want to release any of it to the general public so they can see it with their eyes. And yet they're continuing to arrest people, but yet they are also claiming that they haven't been able to really manage the amount of evidence. I mean, it's a complete delay tactic. And so I haven't seen so much as them not allowing me to get to trial. The delays are the fact that I don't have the evidence that they're planning to say that they have against me available to review and to prepare a defense. And then, of course, now that they have the classified documents, what they're trying to do is leverage the national security aspect of documents that they claim come from Afghanistan in 2005. Well, we're not even in Afghanistan anymore. But what they want to do is they want to use this as a means to further censor the public aspect of the trial. And, you know, my main argument is that you're not going to allow that. If you want to bring this evidence against me, well, then declassify it because I have a right to enjoy a public trial. And therefore, if you want to charge me in that public trial and you want to use this evidence, you don't get to just claim, oh, we don't want anybody to see it. You need to make the evidence available. And the reason they don't want to make it available is because they don't want anyone to see how ridiculous their claims are. And that's exactly the battle that we're up against. So this recent continuance was at our request.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I still hadn't even seen the so-called classified documents that they have.
Now, you've been in custody for a year. Have you been arraigned?
Yeah, immediately, I think like the very next day, they arraigned me on the two misdemeanor charges. And then, of course, at that hearing, they claimed, oh, there's more stuff that we need to continue till Tuesday. So the following October 5th was when they brought the five additional charges for the weapons, the grenades. And then 6 months later is when they claimed that they found these classified materials. Now there's a lot of interesting details of that we're not ready to expose yet, but I think Epoch Times just exposed some information about the so-called grenades that they found that they found in our RV, and of course their DNA evidence doesn't match up with me, although there is DNA on the grenades, but it's not my DNA. It's not my dog's DNA, and it's not my carpet fiber. So that's a pretty interesting little tidbit of information out there. So, I mean, the reality is there is delay going on because this is a political event. And
yep.
So they are hoping to delay until they're ready for everything to come out. And I think that's why you're seeing the other oath keepers go to trial right before the election. They tried to get my trial done right before the election, but we were successful and able to get it continued until December. So I think that was a big victory for us.
All right. All right. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, I'm old. All I can do is talk a bunch of shit now and try to shine a light on stuff. But, you know, my direct action days are way behind me, man. But
and I'm with you. I mean, I tell people that I'm 48, but I'm like a highway patrol car. I'm only 2 model years old, but I've got 500,000 miles on me. So look, brother, our best avenue and our best weapon now is our mind and our institutional knowledge to be able to sound that alarm and explain to people how bad things are. And what I tell people is, look, I've been retired 10 years now. What I know is simply based off of at least 10-year-old information, and so who knows how much worse it actually is, because we're not in the smoke-filled rooms of the conspirators deciding on how best to put us all into slavery and control us and then dissolve our sovereignty so that we can all stand before this new Build Back Better, Great Reset version of the new world, right?
Yeah.
And so
that's working out so great.
Look, exactly. Yeah, hey, we'll own nothing and we'll be happy. But I'm not that happy right now. So the best that we can do is use what we know, our experience, and our ability to cut through the propaganda and say, look, this is what's happening. And if you don't do something as citizens and stand up and say no, to this tyranny, it's going to continue to push you over the cliff.
That's absolutely correct. And we have your Give, Send, what is it? Give, Send, Go? Yeah, we got your account up here. Try to get you some donations.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That was actually the topic of my podcast today was, our need for logistical support. I mean, no warrior, no matter how tough and how strong they are, without logistical support, that they're not going to last long in the fight. And so, to fight this, they call it a justice system, but there's not very much justice being divvied out unless you have deep pockets.
Yeah, and that's another thing. That needs to get fixed. Think about it. We have a constitution, and then we have a whole protected class who are immune from violating it. So in reality, when you mix those together, we don't have a constitution. Because
that's exactly right. We have the shell of a system that we all believe in until we end up inside the system, and then we realize that we're not innocent until proven guilty.
Yep. I got you, man. I got you. So how many more minutes you got?
I actually have no idea at all how much time I have, but we'll get a 1-minute warning. But you did mention the gifts and gifts.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Well, there you go. The nice lady says we have 1 minute remaining.
1 minute remaining.
But if you go to jeremybrowndefense.com, you can find other interviews. You can find the original interview where I exposed the recording of the Joint Terrorism Task Force attempting to recruit me.
Uh-huh.
Also, we have a daily podcast that I call in from here in jail on Rumble at Jeremy Brown Campaign, all one word.
Okay.
So if your listeners could, squeeze in a little bit more information each day, I know everybody's overwhelmed by all the different information, we would certainly appreciate it. And every little bit helps us as we, wage this battle against the corrupt DOJ and the Joint Terrorism Task Force.
Roger that.
Hey, Dio Presa Liber, brother.
Roger, thank you for calling in, bro.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you for having me.
We take it easy.
All right, be safe out there.
All right.
As safe as we can be.
Well, first of all, I just got to say,
wow,
that is very disconcerting. I am not up to speed on the actual inner workings of this case.
Yeah.
All I know is that doesn't sound very foreboding for our alphabet agencies.
It's not out of character for them.
At this time, no.
No.
Unfortunately.
They've been completely weaponized by the DNC at this point. Mm-hmm. The alphabet agencies and the DNC are just like the lamestream media and the DNC.
And the thing is, in most of those alphabet agencies, it's the top three and four echelons, which are the ones that are causing all the problems. And most of the people at the execution level are just nugs going through the motions.
That's right.
Now, I'm not... Listen, I mean... That is a partial excuse, but it doesn't absolve them of all culpability for...
No.
I'm just saying.
It's like anything else. If you know it's a bullshit order, you don't have to follow it. Choose to.
Had that battle with some officers.
Oh, yeah?
And they can order you to do all kinds of fucked up shit, but if I have any questions, I could demand it in writing with their signature.
Administrative violence.
So if shit goes south... It's your ass.
Yo ass.
But yeah, I hope to God that this guy gets out from underneath this horse shit.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to keep delaying and crushing him under the thumb of bureaucracy for as long as possible. We know that.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, he can use your help. Even if it's just watching the podcast so that you guys have the information so that you can spread it like a Sarastatute's thighs. It's very helpful. So we will have links in the description. Make sure that you guys sign up. If you can donate to his defense, please do. Because obviously going up against the DOJ, going up against, you're not combating like the barbershop owner on the corner because he fucked up and cut your ear.
So. No. You play with the DOJ, you're going to have to P-A-Y pay.
And usually that results in ass pain and a lot of it.
Yep.
So you guys, I'm not going to tell you to take it easy because right now you're probably really pissed off. So have a drink. Just don't drive afterwards. And then when you're done being pissed off, check out the links in the description and spread the truth because that's the best weapon that we have.
That's right.
We'll see you next time.
Take it easy.